Love of the beloved, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Love of the beloved, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyid al-Mursaleen. Amma ba'd, fa'audhu billahi min shaitan rajim, bismillahir rahman rahim. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah.
As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah.
Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah.
Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah.
As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Nabiyallah.
As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Nabiyallah.
Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurallah.
Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurallah.
MashaAllah. Viewers of Mother Channel, welcome to this special series of programs during the blessed month of Rabi Nur Sharif. And as you can see, in the studio is all lit up, and I hope and I pray that all of your houses all around the world are lit up to celebrate this blessed month. And in this blessed month, we remember the coming of the mercy to all the worlds, the final messenger and the best of all creation. But in the midst of all of this, he was the greatest role model as well. And in light of this, this series of programs, our role model, in it we're going to discuss different aspects of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life and understand that the part he played 1400 years ago is still significant today, significant tomorrow, and significant till the Day of Judgment. And we can continuously learn from his life of how we should live our lives. Before we begin, we're going to give you a blessing of reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's narrated that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that the one who sends salat upon me once, Allah azawajal showers 10 blessings upon him. And the one who sends salat upon me 10 times, Allah Azza wa Jal showers 100 blessings upon him. And the one who sends salat upon me 100 times, Allahu Akbar. Allah Azza wa Jal inscribes between both of his eyes that this person is exempted from hypocrisy and the fires of hell. And on the day of judgment, he will be raised amongst the martyrs. Allahu Akbar. Viewers of the channel, please make a habit, we've said it many, many times, please make a habit of reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because who knows that one extra Durood-e Pak that we recite today might make all the difference on the Day of Judgment. Viewers of the channel, in this series of program, our role model, we're discussing different aspects about the life of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When you look at the history books, when you look at the people who've researched all of the great personalities around the world from the beginning of time till now, many historians have said that in this category, there is nobody that is comparable to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that is his role as a leader. His role as a leader. He was the greatest leader of all time. And even to this day, there have been books that have been written on it. There was one famous book, but that was written by an American, Michael H. Hart. And when he wrote about the most influential people, he put the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the top because of his leadership qualities, because of his leadership skills. And inshallah, today we're going to talk about the life of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a leader. And hopefully, if we look at today and our lives, you know, you might say that you're not a leader. You may say that I'm not a leader. So what do I need to learn from the life of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? But the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that each of you is a shepherd and each is responsible for his flock. So we all have our responsibilities. We're leaders in our households, we're leaders in our workplaces. So again, we can look at the life of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and hopefully we can learn something. MashaAllah, with us in the studio again, MashaAllah, Tawfiq bhai has arrived. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi.
MashaAllah, how are you, Tawfiq bhai? Are you okay?
Alhamdulillah, MashaAllah.
Again, a very unique topic, Tawfiq bhai. And I think when we came up with a list of topics, and I myself thought to myself that, you know, is this relevant to everybody? Is it relevant? Because not all of us are leaders. But when I came across the hadith where the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that each of you, every one of you is a shepherd and look after your flock. And that made me reflect and realize that, yes, we are all leaders in one way or another. We all have these responsibilities in one way or another, that we are looking after people or managing people or in some form, whatever, we are a leader.
Khalid, you know, the word leader is so broad. It fits into many categories or it fits into many departments. For example, the captain, you know, in a sports, in a game, he's a leader. Yeah, if you look at someone where you're working, even in a warehouse, someone supervising you, the supervisor or the manager is the leader. Likewise, you can look at any department of life, any profession, the businessman, the president, the kings, whichever field you look at, even in the army, you have leaders. Every aspect, you know, you cannot say that you can avoid a leader in your life. know, in any form, any profession, even a teacher. If you go to a school, you're a teacher, you're a leader. Yeah, and if you're the teacher, and from the teacher, you have a leader,
yes.
Head teacher.
Yes.
Yeah, so there's loads of, you know different professions you can look at. There's loads of people who have this responsibility of leadership. And if you were to do a bit of research of leadership qualities, and, you know, to how, what makes a good leader, what do you need to have? And that is the key thing. And you'll find, in, you know, if you open any book, you know, on this particular topic, or if you research on the internet, if you watch any, you know, programs, you'll find that certain topics, they are generic, they are common. And for example, one of the qualities of a leader is that individual must be trustworthy.
So hard.
That individual must be honest in his character. You know, if there's questions about his character, especially the people who are below him, if they question his standard, you know, his personality, then there's issues. Then that person will not make a good leader. Yeah. So you have to look at the individual himself, and there's so many things that, you know, a common person, a leader, must have. And then when you, one by one, you know, I'm making it already open here. Open a book, get them qualities out, and you'll get a list, at least what, 10, 15 of points. These are the points that a leader must have. Then now you turn towards the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. One by one, you'll notice, not one, many examples, many instances and examples from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will find that shows you that in each department or each quality that leader has, you'll find that our Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is the best role model for us. For example, I'm going to start off with the one I've just mentioned to you, honesty and trustworthy. These are very important. Now, if you look at the life of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, not just those who love him, who have respect for him, those who believe in him, those who follow him, but also those who, you could say, they reject his message. Yeah, you see the example of when Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam announced his prophethood at the age of 40, when he gathered the local community together, the Quraysh, I mean, they were all there, so many people were there, many leaders were there of them, of the tribes. They were there, and when Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam spoke in front of them, what was it? If I was to say what is behind the mountain, would you believe me? And all the discussion that happened, they all said, "We believe you because you are Sadiq, you are Amin."
Yes.
Yeah. Even in that example, you'll find that, you know, for whatever reason, that those people who rejected the actual message of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, but they could not deny the fact that the 40 years of life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that was in front of them, they could not deny that he is the most honest and most trustworthy.
I think in the same way that when the first hijrah took place and they went to Abyssinia,
yes,
and the question was asked, that is he a honest person? Is he a trustworthy person? And the people that were there, that were trying to get the Muslims to come back, they even had to admit to the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was an honest and had that integrity in him. And I think that's a very, very important aspect of any leadership, that in any state, you know, if you were to bring it to today's form, and you give the examples there of a teacher, of a head teacher, of a manager, of anything like that, if any field that you can even think about, if that person doesn't have that honesty inside them, if that person doesn't have that integrity inside them, he's not going to last long.
True.
Sooner or later, he's going to get caught out. And when he gets caught out, then all of that trust, because a leader needs to have that trust in the people that are below him. And that trust is dependent on his character, on his integrity, on his honesty. So if he loses that honesty or loses that integrity, then these people, they will not trust him. And if they will not trust him, they will not follow him.
There's a saying that trust is like a sticker. Yeah, you know, I got a badge yesterday, Nalin Sharif,
mashallah.
Well, like, say if you're a good boy at school, you had a sticker. Well done, Khalid, mashallah, you're doing really good today. Yeah, you had a sticker reminding you of the old days, mashallah.
I never got any stickers.
Subhanallah. But, you know, with them stickers, obviously they look nice, don't they? But they stay with you for some hours.
Yeah.
But then, as a child, the kids, they take you off. And when they try to put it back on, it doesn't have the same, you know, the effect.
Yeah.
And then if you take it off, put it back on a few times, you know, you do that, then time will come.
Effect.
It will not just lose the effect. If you really want the badge or the sticker, you'll have to keep your hand there.
Yeah.
As soon as you move your hand, it's going to fall off. That's how trust is. You know, once you lose trust it's so hard to build it. And sometimes, depending on what you did, what's the stupid thing that you did, you know, sometimes as a human, you can make a mistake. You genuinely made a mistake, but in the eyes of the rest, you made a big, you know, that was a big problem. And due to that, you lost trust. It could be financial issue, whatever it was. It could be you were in a position of responsibility or care, and you breached, you know, your role. And in that case, sometimes, you don't get a second chance.
I remember, it's just a little story that came to my mind. My father used to tell me this story. And there's this person, he had a very pious son, a good son. And his father came home one day and said, "Son, when I go out, people talk about people. They talk about this child, they talk about this child, they talk about him, they talk about him. But nobody ever mentions your name. Nobody says that, you know, your son this or your son that." He said, "Do you want to hear my name?" And the father said, "Well, yeah." So he went out and he did something wrong. And next day, that news was all around the town. And everybody's saying, "Oh, that's such and such." And he came home and he said, "You know, everybody's talking about you." And he said, "Exactly. That's what you wanted and that's what you've got." So normally the people that, you know, that are the honest, genuine people don't, you know, don't praise them all, right? Because it's an accepted quality and it's something that we should put into our children. And like you say, the 40 years, you look at the hikmat, the wisdom of them 40 years. Allah. Because without doubt, if Allah Azza wa Jalla wished, he could have announced the prophethood a lot earlier.
Yes.
But them 40 years were there for a reason, I firmly believe. Yeah. And that was to put the foundation down, that everybody realized that he is the Al-Amin, he is the Sadiq, he is the trustworthy, most trustworthy people. Even to the extent that that event comes to mind where they were rebuilding the Kaaba.
Yes.
Yeah, and the stone was there.
There was argument
who's going to put the stone, and they said the next person that comes in, and it was the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that came in, and all of the tribes, all of these feuding tribes that had been arguing and fighting, and in history they've been killing each other. Uh-huh. As soon as they saw the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they said, "Labbaik, whatever the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if he comes and does it, then we have no issue."
Subhanallah.
And that, how did that happen? That didn't happen overnight.
And look at the decision that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made at that time.
Even then,
how he united all the tribes, subhanallah, and then collectively agreed. So they all took part in the
hikmah and wisdom of it. So not only was, you know, there you see two aspects of his leadership. One, you see the fact that because of his honesty, because of his integrity, he was, you know, valued in that sense. But even in that position, when he was valued as a leader, he still kept everybody on board. And again, that's a huge quality. That as a leader, he didn't just say, "Okay, so I'm the leader today, okay," and he puts the stone on. Because that would have been accepted. But his hikmat was that, look, I've got an opportunity now that although I've been given this respect, I've been given this honor, I've been given this position, I will still use this to unite people. And that again, you know, it wasn't something I planned, but that again is a unique quality of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Throughout his life, he could have just ordered. Once he'd announced prophethood, once he'd had the followers, once people were with him, he could have said, "You do this, you do this, you do this, you do," and he could have done it. And they would have listened.
There's many examples like that where you mentioned that, you know, as a team leader working with the team, you know, doing the groundwork, you know, even in the state of battles, so, you know, the trench, khandaq, you know.
Digging the trench, making the masjid.
Building the masjid, and, you know, physically being part of the rest of the public and, you know, giving them the love. Another beautiful quality of a leader is that you love and have respect for those who are under you, those who are inferior or those who are on your team. And I'll give you an example of this. Sayyidina Zaid bin Harithah radiallahu ta'ala anhu is a companion, is a sahabi of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was, if you look at his history, he was a child at the beginning, and he was gifted to Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam after the marriage of Sayyidatuna Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. So after the marriage, and there's a whole history behind it, how did he come to that household? But just the main points I'll mention, that when Sayyidatuna Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha got married to the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, she gifted Sayyidina Zaid to the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And Sayyidina Zaid, you know, loved the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam so much, and people were aware that our Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam loved him so much, that people used to call Zaid that he is the son of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So some people used to call him Zaid, the son of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in reality, his father is someone else. Yeah, and as a coincidence, his father and his family members were concerned. They were worried.
They
didn't know where they were looking for him. Yeah, and it was the Hajj. May Allah Ta'ala take us on the journey of Hajj.
Ameen.
The pilgrimage, the beautiful journey of Hajj. So as a custom, people came towards the Hajj from his family, and they saw his child, and they realized this is Zaid, and he is in the custody of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. So when these family members went back to his household and they told Zaid's father that your son, we've seen him, we found him, and he's enjoying, he's happy, so he's in good place, he's safe. Yeah. So now his father and with his uncle, both of them, possibly few of the people came with this intention to Makkah Sharif to find the house of Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. And when they came in the court of Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, what did they say? They say, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we have heard that you have a beautiful character, you're a great individual. No, you don't do injustice to anyone. And you're not the one who comes to break ties, you're the one who comes to mend ties, that you make, you know, to reconcile people. And subhanAllah, the father and the uncle is saying to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Zaid is my son. And could you please, instead of saying, can I have him back? But because it was a culture of slavery at that time, so they said, you know, you can have whatever you want. Tell us, you know, how much you want, the money or wealth. We'll give you all that. Please give us my son back. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he heard, you know, these words of the father, and he said, no, I'm not here to, you know, break people or take people away. I'm here to get them together. And
Allah,
so Prophet sallallahu ta'ala sallam called Sayyidina Zaid radiyallahu ta'ala anhu and said to him, that first said to him, do you recognize these people? And he did. Now as a child, he recognized, that's my father, that's my uncle. And the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala sallam then said to him, O Zaid, I give you the permission, you choose. You can either stay with me or
Allah,
you can stay
Allah,
with your father. And subhanallah, Sayyidina Zaid radiallahu ta'ala anhu immediately said, Ya Rasulullah, I want to stay with you.
Allah, Allah, Allah.
And now his father was hearing these words, O Zaid, what are you doing?
I'm your father.
I'm your father. Yeah, you're ready to, you're accepting to live in slavery compared to, you know, being freed.
And with your own family.
And being with your own family, what are you doing? And Sayyidina Zaid radiallahu ta'ala anhu, at that moment, the words that he used to describe the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wasallam, that was so unique and so emotional. But if you look at it in one, from one angle, Sayyidina Zaid is a slave, and the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wasallam is a master. You know, generally, obviously, everyone wants to live in freedom, but this slavery is such that there's no freedom like this. Yeah, and this personality that I am with,
Allah,
I know there is no one like him in the whole world.
Allah.
Yeah, and look at his attachment and his love for Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. This is before the announcement of the Prophethood.
Allah.
Yeah,
Allah.
And you know, this shows that our beloved Aqa Madani Mustafa, the master of the universe sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he used to love, you know, even the slaves, even the people on the streets. He's here to spread the love. Yeah, he shared the love. And you know, as a leader, one of the, you know, top quality of a leader is not to just rule, you know, over a state, but the best part is to rule the hearts.
Allah.
Yeah, to win the hearts and rule over them. And this is one example. Yeah.
Another a few examples come to my mind, inshallah. We'll discuss them in a few moments. We've got a small package here for you at the moment. A little package on the benefits of celebrating Milad. Inshallah, listen to this package and come back and we'll continue with this topic. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Amir al-Sunnat, Sheikh Tariqat, the leader and founder of Dawat Islami, Hazrat Allama Maulana Abu Bilal Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri, may his shadow remain upon us. He says that the 12th of Rabiul Awwal is a very beautiful day for me. The reason why is Amir al-Sunnat, why does he love the 12th of Rabiul Awwal? Because that is the day our beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam was born. And it says, let me tell you a story. Amir al-Sunnat, he mentions one of the hadiths of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one of his booklets. And he says that after the death of Abu Lahab, some of his family members dreamt about that he had been suffering problems and troubles after he passed away. Upon inquiring the state after his death, he replied, after departing from you, I have not received any goodness. Thereafter, indicating towards a hole under his thumb, he said, except for this, there is no goodness for me. I am fed with water through it, because I had freed my slave Thuwaiba. Subhanallah. So just imagine, Abu Lahab, who is he? He is one of the most strongest enemies of Islam. Yet when the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam was born, he freed one of his slave girls, and Allah ta'ala even rewarded him for that as well. That his punishment is taken, he gets water from the finger that he freed his slave girl. Subhanallah. As Muslims, when we celebrate the birth of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do you not think that Allah ta'ala will give us blessings in our lives? Of course he will. So celebrate Milad of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with full zest and mashallah and mood and alhamdulillah azawajal with full muhabbat and love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of Mother Channel, you saw there one of the benefits of celebrating Milad, and we should all celebrate Milad, show our happiness in our homes, and let people know that we are proud. We are proud to be of the Ummah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How fortunate we are that we are of that Ummah. We are the lucky ones, we are the fortunate ones, if only we realize. Viewers of Mother Channel, you're watching Our Role Model, and today we're talking about another unique topic which relates to the Prophet, the life of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that is his role as a leader. As a leader. And Tawfiq Bhai, before the break, he mentioned a couple of the qualities of leadership. He mentioned the fact that integrity and trust, and again, without doubt, there are many, many examples, and Tawfiq Bhai gave the odd one or two examples there. The next thing he mentioned was the fact that the compassion that he had, the love that he had for all the people that we were there, and the fact that even before he announced prophethood, because, you know, things come to my mind that when the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had not announced prophethood, then obviously his status in the eyes of people was different, because he is a person of the community. And obviously once he's announced prophethood and you believe, then when you believe you follow and you listen without question. As a true follower should listen without question. But before that, before he announced prophethood, his character was such that even then his character was so exemplary and so compassionate. He had the example that the Hebrew beautifully gave with regards to the slave that he had, Sayyidina Zahid radiallahu anhu, that he had the opportunity to leave and go with his parents, go with his father, go with his uncle, but he said, no, I want to stay here because this is the best place, this is the best person. There is no person like that. And that, the amazing thing about that incident, which I personally think, was the fact that at the time, prophethood had not been announced. And so, then 40 years that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam lived amongst people, what kind of, you know, even today, you cannot imagine that anybody can live in such a way that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam lived. And the other thing that he mentioned, Tawfiq Bhai, just before the break, and something came to my mind, and I mentioned it to Tawfiq Bhai, was the fact that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ruled people's hearts.
Subhanallah.
He ruled people's hearts, and he, and the hearts came close to his. And as he was talking and he was saying that, I started to smile and I started to think about our Shaykh Tariqat, Amir al-Sunnah, Mawlana Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri. May Allah Azza wa Jal keep his shadow upon us. And,
Ameen.
You know, without a doubt, in the current time, he is a leader, he's a ruler of people's hearts. You know, he's traveled to very few countries. He may have been to India once, maybe gone to the United Arab Emirates, you know, and a few times. But his love, his compassion, his message has got all around the world, and he's ruling people's hearts all around the world. And that, again, is a perfect example for us in modern times of how we need to try and live our lives. Jee Tawfiq Bhai, sorry.
No, before I move to the next point, I just want to add something regarding the incident we were talking about. When the Sayyidina Zayd's father, when he came in the court of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So if you look at that example, what did he come with? What intention? He came with this intention that I will offer the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam some wealth and I will buy the son back. Yeah. So it would have been just to do that.
Yes.
Yeah, it was a right, it was adl. Yeah, it's a just. But Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't want money. Yeah? Instead of doing justice, yeah, Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did ihsan on him, did favor on him. That look, I don't need your son. I want you people to be together. I want you to be united. Yeah. So from my side, he's okay to go. So prophets as a leader, you know, you talk about leader, this aspect is important as well. That as a leader, you don't just be, you know, just do justice, but many times you will need to do favor on your team and do such favors, you know, upon those who are under you, that their whole life they are indebted to you. Yeah, they will remember your favors. And like the example that you gave in about Sheikh Tariqat Amir al-Sunnat, Rahmat Barakatul Aliyah, the work that he's done, the services of deen that is front of us, this is, if you look at it, that he's done so much favor for the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that for us, it's a big debt.
Yes.
Yeah, just looking at his works that he's done, for us, we could spend our whole life and we won't be able to repay his debt.
That's yeah?
And this, if you look at this, the Amir al-Sunnat, you know, how is he running it? How is he ruling over so many people? Not by, you know, military power or something, or he's got some special resources, even financial powers. Yeah, what it is, it's taqwa, yeah. Piety, fear of Allah, it's love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you know, his whole life is about embodiment of following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, being simple, you know, simple, and you know, and spreading simplicity as well. You know, telling people, look, you can live a simple life. Which a lot of people, you know, we talk about peer pressure sometimes, you know, and as a family tribe or culture, sometimes you look at people in your area, you think, no, you have to move up. You have to move one man behind all the time. But when you look at the life of these great individuals, you think you can live your life in simplicity as well, at the same time, have a leadership qualities. Yeah? Back to our main topic. If you look at our beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam and his leadership qualities, one key thing that we see in a good leader is that individual, that personality has a broad vision.
Subhanallah.
Yeah? He's not a limited minded. Yeah, whenever he decides something, this is not something just to resolve a short-term solution. It's more of a long-term solution, something that will benefit the mass, benefit the generations to come, yes, centuries to come. And in this case, from the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you will find many decisions that have taken place, a decision that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made, them guiding principles that he gave, they were not just for those people, only for the Sahaba, only for the Arabs. But their decisions, even now, after 1400 years, they are so beneficial for us. We are benefiting from them. We're enjoying them.
I remember, Tawfiq bhai, as you were talking, it came to my mind. Alhamdulillah, I was blessed to make the journey of Hajj. And I had, mashallah, a very pious scholar with me. And when we were on the plains of Arafat, and just as it was getting towards the end, when we were about to leave, when you could see, you know, as far as the eye could see, you could see Muslims. And I said to the pious Mawlana Sahib, you know, how many people are here today? He said, only Allah knows how many people are here. I said, but isn't it amazing, that feeling that we get here?
SubhanAllah.
He said, but one thing you need to realize. I said, what? He said, you need to realize the wisdom and the vision of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I said, what do you mean? He said, when Hajj was made fard upon the Muslims, a Muslim said to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is it fard every year?
Allahu Akbar.
And he said, think to yourself,
Allah,
if the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said yes,
Allah,
if he had said yes at that moment in time, when it was practical for people to perform the Hajj every year. Yeah, maybe how many Muslims? 100,000 Muslims? 200,000 Muslims? It was possibly practical. But at that time, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said no. And he said, think about it.
Allah.
And I sat there and I'm thinking, you know what? That's amazing. That the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had that vision. That time will come where it will be impossible for the Muslims to perform the Hajj every year, you know. And so that wisdom, that vision, and I cannot think at the moment, no better example comes to my mind rather than that one.
You know, there's a few more examples that I want to share on the same topic, that our beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam made certain decisions with this intention to make it easy for the Ummah and make it easy for the future generations. One of the examples that I can share with you today is that if our beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said that if I had not taken care of the difficulties of my ummah, I would have made miswak farz upon them and for every time they do wuzu.
Yes.
And this could have been farz.
Yes.
Why is it not farz? Because
Prophet of
Allah, to make it easy for us. Another example of this, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if I had not taken the care of the difficulties of my ummah, I surely would have ordered to delay Isha Salah to 1/3 of the night or to midnight. Because it's superior to delay the Isha Namaz. Well, it's better to delay it, but it's not made fard.
Yes.
It's not made compulsory on us. It's made easy for us, looking at our ease today. And similarly, Prophet sallallahu ta'ala says that if I had not taken care of the weakness of the old and the illness of the patients, I surely would have delayed this salah, which is Isha Namaz, till midnight. So look at this, subhanAllah, our Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, not just one occasion, there are so many examples that maybe, if you look at that, if you study that in that particular account, you think it was for that moment, but no. The message of Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is long-lasting, is a universal message. These principles, they will continue, not just in the Arab world, not just in the Asian world, but around the world, whichever culture you are from, you are able to follow those principles. The biggest example is the glorious Quran. The Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, he's a leader and he's left principles. He's left the last message for us in the form of the Quran. And this Quran is a universal message. Yeah, not limited to any time, not limited to any culture, not limited to any language. But subhanAllah, you know, even now the principles are very fresh. When you act upon them, you feel the spirituality. You can, you feel you're connected with your Rabb, with your Creator. Yeah, we were talking about broad vision. So what is that broad vision that our Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wasallam came with? And that broad vision is that if you believe in Allah and you follow me, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you act upon Islam, that in return you will enter Jannah.
Subhanallah.
Look at this broad vision. Yeah? And in Jannah, what is the biggest gift that a person will be given? This gift could have been hidden, could have been kept secret. But look at the mercy of my Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, that he told everyone that in Jannah you will get the full Jannah is full of mercy and blessings and bounties. But the biggest gift in Jannah is that as a human being, as a Muslim, you will be able to see your own Rabb,
Allah.
Is the broad vision that our Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has instilled in the hearts of the Muslims.
Allah.
And this message, look at this, the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam came with this broad vision, and look at how the community accepted this mission. From the moment when Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam conveyed the call, invited people to Islam, the first person to accept Islam is Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, from the adults. From the ladies, Sayyidatuna Khadijatul Kubra radiallahu ta'ala anha, she was first. From the children, it is Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And from the slaves, it was Sayyidina Zaid bin Haritha radiallahu ta'ala anhu. These were the first new Muslims, first individuals to accept the message. However, if you study the Makki life, it wasn't easy. It was so difficult. There were so many turns and so many difficulties and pains that the Muslims had to go through. Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam himself physically was abused by people. And not just, you know, verbally, but physically. There's many accounts where you see he was thrown stoned. He was stoned out. The blood used to flow on his blessed body, and the land part, they were full of blood. Many incidents happened like this. Yeah, but the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam remained firm, steadfast, and continued preaching, spreading the message. And today, look how many people have accepted Islam. If you look at the world population now, Muslims, I think, if I'm correct, they're at least over 2 billion, if not near 3 billion. Is it 2.7 billion?
No, it's 1.7 billion.
1.7. Approx, call it 2 billion.
Yeah. Yeah?
Around 2 billion of people around the world are Muslims. But it's not this. Look at this now. From the first Muslims who accepted Islam all the way up to now.
Alhamdulillah.
Just imagine how many billions of people accepted the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is called leadership. Yeah? And not just this. You mentioned the example of this individual who in 1978, Michael Hart, he wrote that book. And not just him, many other people who are not Muslims, Yeah, they have written, now praises of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and there's a shayr I wanted to share, but it's not going to my mind now. Very famous shayr, in Urdu language. It was written by someone from India. He was not a Muslim. But when you read that, them lines, you think it's written by a Muslim. But no, it was written by a non-Muslim. But look how much they express their love. So even those who are not in the faith, but when they are neutral, when they study the life of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala wasallam, they will come to this conclusion that this individual, this personality, was that individual who changed the planet.
Allah.
He's a savior of the people.
Allah.
He's guided people towards the right path. He's protected the rights of so many people. Now you can only understand that if you know and you have studied the life of humanity before the announcement of the prophethood. In fact, before the arrival on the earth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If people have studied their life, how they call it dark ages. You study and you see how it was.
We mentioned it yesterday, didn't we? The role of the husband, the fact that how women were treated prior to the arrival of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi
wasallam. The daughters.
Yes. Buried alive.
People, if someone gave birth to a daughter, they used to hide it. And sometimes, even if they hid it for 5-6 years and it came out, there's a daughter in the house, even then the cruel father would not just, think, oh, it's my daughter, shall I leave her? No, even then, because of his pre-ignorant mindset, he would still take her and bury her alive. Yeah, that's how it was. But Prophet came and protected the rights of women, gave, if you look at the concept of slavery, this was an old concept. Very ancient concept. Yeah, you heard the story, that famous incident of Prophet Yusuf al-Islam. No, he was made slave.
Gigi.
So this concept of slavery is very old. Yeah, it's not that Islam started this. No, this was existing before as well. But if you look at the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his teachings, you'll find our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has played a huge role in getting rid of the slavery system from the earth.
Allah. Yeah. Allah. You're on the channel, you're watching our role model. It's a very unique and interesting topic, and I think no matter what your role is, whatever your position is, you can learn from the life of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam how he was a leader. But we're going to take a small break now. We've got the Kalam of the day, inshallah. When we come back, inshallah, we'll continue with this topic. So let's go to the Kalam of the day. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Roshni huzur ki tajalli aage noor ki roshni huzur ki bole ye deewane jhoom ke aaye hain huzur aaye hain क्यों आज झूमे के सरकार आए न क्यों आज झूमे के सरकार आए खुदा की खुदाई के मुख्तार आए खुदा की खुदाई के मुख्तार आए न क्यों बारहवीं पे हमें प्यार आए न क्यों बारहवीं पे हमें प्यार आए के इसी रोज सरकार आए सरकार आए जो आए हैं हुजूर आए हैं 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 मुबारक तुझे आमीना हो मुबारक मुबारक तुझे आमीना हो मुबारक तेरे घर शहंशाह अबरार आए तेरे घर शहंशाह अबरार आए मुबारक हलीमा तुम्हें भी मुबारक मुबारक हलीमा तुम्हें भी मुबारक में नबियों के सरदार आए हुजूर की आमद
آمد مرغابا بل نور کی آمد مرغابا آقا کی آمد مرغابا مولا کی آمد مرغابا
نہ کیوں آج جشن ملادت منائے نظر رب کی رحمت کے آثار آئے نظر رب کی رحمت کے آثار آئے عدد ہم کو بارہ کا کیوں ہونا پیارا عدد ہم کو بارہ کا کیوں ہونا پیارا کے باراتی تاریخ جب یار آئے کا صدقہ شاہ زندگی بھر میلادت کا صدقہ شاہ زندگی بھر مدینے میں ہر سال عطار آئے مدینے میں ہر سال عطار آئے ولادت کا صدقہ پڑوسی بنانا ولادت کا صدقہ پڑوسی بنانا شاہ قلد میں جب یہ عطار آئے عطار آئے حضور کی آمد مرحبا بل نور کی آمد مرحبا آقا کی آمد مرحبا مولا کی آمد مرحبا
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of Mother Channel, I hope that you enjoyed that kalam as much as I did. Again, these sort of kalams, mashallah, we listen to them in the home, you know, let our children listen to them. Now, the whole base of this is to instill the love of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala in our lives. And this is the month in which we celebrate his life, his teachings, his sacrifices. But like we said today, in the midst of all this, he was the greatest role model as well. And in this series of programs, we're talking about his role as a role model. And today in particular, we're talking about leadership qualities. And during the break, we were saying that really, you know, 1 hour, we cannot really give justice to this topic. And we can only give a few examples. And Tawfiq Bhai said that really all we can do is, you know, for the barakat that we discuss this topic and make people aware that this is a topic that, you know, we need to be proud of, that it was such a great role model, the greatest role model. And hopefully we can learn something from it. So, Tawfiq Bhai, so far we've only really just not even touched upon a couple of aspects.
Only a few aspects, but another important quality that a leader must have is being able to forgive. Because as a team or those who are under you, you know, the people, you know, who are going to work with you to take you forward as a system, you know, they will make mistakes with the human beings. Yeah. Humans make mistakes. So they will do certain things that they will affect your own goal and your vision for the team. So you have to have this quality in you that you're able to forgive, and not everyone can do that.
Yes.
So when you look at our life today, now someone makes a mistake, and even if you say, okay, you know what, I forgive you, you know what we do?
We remember it.
We remember it. Yeah. We keep the grudge.
We keep it inside us, and we wait for the opportunity.
We wait for the opportunity, and when the opportunity comes, that's it. All guns blazing. You know, everything. We forget everything. We forget our relations. We forget who that person was. Now I'll give an example before we come to this topic. I know someone. Well, I'm aware of them individuals, you can say, or the family, that they had a rift between, you know, grandsons, yeah? And one of the person said that go, and, you know, it's not a nice thing to say, but it's quite old, but my father used to tell me that go and shoot that person, yeah? And you think, you know, they would say, why are you doing that? He's your granddad, yeah? And you know what he said to the other person? He said, look, don't think he's your granddad, think that it's that person's dad. And that's his uncle. Yeah, you know, because when you're angry and you want to take it all out, you forget what you're doing.
Yes.
Yeah. And this is a real example now I've given to you, because it makes you crazy, you know, because you want to take revenge. But when we look at the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we see the example, not one example, many examples of forgiveness. Yeah, and definitely, you know, for a Muslim, we have to look up to them.
Yes.
We have to try to aspire from them and learn from them and try to implement in our life as well. Because we are the followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One of the biggest examples I can share with you today on this particular note is the conquest of Makkah.
Allah, Allah, Allah.
The victory of Makkah. That was the occasion when Muslims have taken back, they've taken the hold of Makkah al-Mukarramah once again. Yeah? And now the enemies, the people who were on the other side, they were so scared and they're shivering. They were so worried. They knew that said, oh, today Muslims have taken over. And you know, just that presence, the Muslims have taken over, this itself is like a death to them.
Yeah.
And in that gathering, and you know what, in that gathering, you know, when Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked towards this crowd, huge crowd, he could see those people in that crowd who in the whole life, they gave so much trouble to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who physically, you know, abused Aqa alayhi salatu wasalam, who would go and tell the bad children in the streets to go and throw stones at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who would throw, you know, the flesh onto the body, intestines, all sorts of things they've done. No, they've done the worst of things to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All these people,
and to his family,
they were all there. To his daughter as well. You know, they've done all sorts of things. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam not just was aware of them in the crowd, but also recognized those individuals. And they could see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they thought that's it.
That's it.
We're finished now. We have nothing for us now. That's it, we've gone. Our future generations, everything stopped now. Whatever we've had, it's past.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were feeling the worst. Subhanallah, when the lips of the greatest leader of mankind, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when his lips moved, Subhanallah, he moved his tongue and he said, "From now on, I have forgiven you all."
Allah, Allah.
Yeah, it was an open forgiveness without any conditions.
Yeah.
And you know, when Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forgive them all, that was a huge, the chant and slogans coming out from the public reading the kalima, and many of them people, if not all of them people, read the kalima and became Muslims. Yeah, this is cool.
You know, when you look at the conquest of Kaaba, of Makkah Sharif, and the acts of that day, and you know, all aspects of it, you know, it's amazing. And again, the fact that he had been hurt, he had been persecuted, not only him, you know, because the feedback, what happens is sometimes if you're hurt, you can take it. Yeah, you can hold it on. But when your family are
hurt,
when your daughter's hurt, when your uncle,
your religion,
everything about, you know, all the other aspects, personal pain, a lot of people can take. Mm. People can take pain on themselves, but when it's pain to people that they love, then it's harder. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in a position now, and if he had wished, and if he had took revenge on that day, nobody would have questioned him. Sorry. Nobody would have said, "You've done wrong." But the hikmat and the wisdom that 1400 years later, we're talking about the compassion, we're talking about the leadership, we're talking about the forgiveness, we're talking about the vision, we're talking about the leadership qualities of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is, you know, you can roll it all up in there, can't you? You can put the vision in there, you can put the compassion in there, you can put the wisdom in there, you can put the forgiveness in there. All of it was in them few moments in which the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam openly forgave them all.
And you know, this forgiveness, it wasn't just on the tongue.
Yes, I was just going to say yes.
And these people became the Sahabi then, yeah, and they had,
and their status was raised.
Their status was raised, yeah, and they were so close.
To a status that we can never attain.
Subhanallah, Allahu Akbar, yeah. And this is a message for me and you and those who are watching this program today as well. That, you know, regardless of what someone has done to me, that do I not have a role to play? Yeah, you know, especially if it's your Muslim brother or a sister, if it's your parents, if it's the family members, if it's relatives, your neighbors, you know, something that happened about a decade ago, we're still talking about it. We still have the grudges. You know, for some reason, you know, I don't know what you want to call this, but we don't let things go. We like holding it back. We want to hold it. You know, one thing that I'll say to those people, you know, who are in that boat, first of all, I understand it's not easy to forgive. You know, if someone actually has done something to you to which affected your status, your personality, it's not easy to forgive. But that's why we see there's so much blessings and rewards for forgiving as well. Yeah. So if I know you can't forgive, but remember this, if today, for whatever that person has done, if I'm not ready to forgive, think about this, that on the day of judgment, when I am in the court of my Rabb, and all the wrongdoings that I have done in the whole life, if I'm not forgiving someone today, even then I'm expecting my Rabb will forgive me.
Allahu
Akbar. That same Rabb, the same Allah, He is seeing me that I'm not forgiving someone else. Yeah, maybe today if I forgive someone, this act may be so beloved to Allah, and due to this, Allah Ta'ala might forgive you as well.
Inshallah.
You know, these are things that we need to think. You know, this life is too short to hold grudges. Yeah, let's learn to live in peace. Let's live. Sometimes, you know, as a worst case scenario, forgive someone from the heart, but because that individual's lifestyle is different, your lifestyle is different, have a mutual understanding. Have this agreement. Okay, both of us cannot work together in a particular team. That's fine. If our minds don't meet, it's possible sometimes when these things do happen. It's a sad thing, but it does happen. But that doesn't mean, you know, everything about him is bad. Yeah, just ignore him. You know, but don't say bad things about him. You know, in a nutshell, I'm looking at time. Time's moving forward.
We've got a little packet that I want to play as well.
There's so many things that, you know, we can talk about. But two things I want to say both.
So let's take the package first.
Go on, take the package.
Let's just take the small package, inshallah, and then we'll come back. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Marhaba, Rabiul Awwal. What a glorious month. In this month, there are many virtues that one can attain, especially on the night of the 11th and the 12th of Rabiul Awwal. It is an act of reward to fast on the 12th of Rabiul Awwal, out of the joy of the birth of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. However, it is better to keep two fasts. Moreover, by conducting and holding gatherings of Mawlid in this month, blessings and all types of peace prevail in that particular house throughout the year. This has been tried and tested. One should make special arrangements, stay awake on the night between the 11th and the 12th, perform ghusl, wear new clothes, put on fragrance, express happiness upon the blessed birth, and perform qiyam and salam on that night and at the time of dawn. Inshallah Azza wa Jal, whatever pious dua one makes, it will be accepted. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Viewers of Manishal, you're watching our role model, mashallah, another beautiful package there. One thing I also learned just during the break there was that when someone's on a roll, yeah, you shouldn't stop them. Yeah? Because when you stop that roll, then sometimes they can lose the track. And towards the end of that package, the feedback's thinking, what were them two things that I was going to talk about? What were them two? And I'm thinking to myself, you know, it's my fault because I stopped him. So I'm going to put him on the spot now, and hopefully he's had enough time and he's probably panicking now. His blood pressure has increased. Gee, the feedback, what were them two things that you're going to mention that for a few moments you forgot?
We were talking about different leadership qualities. And if you look at up to the conquest of Makkah and the life after that, especially the life after that, alhamdulillah, you know, thousands upon thousands of people were coming towards Islam from city to city, from country to country. And that's how Islam spread so far and wide. So if you look at that particular life, you know, if you look at the number of Sahaba, you know, it's written in books, it's over 100,000 Sahaba. Some have written that it's 124,000, some have written 115,000. So there were over 100,000 Sahaba who lived on the face of this earth. And if you look at that, you've got so many people with you. So as a person, as a leader, you know, what type of clothing would you wear? What type of food would you have? What type of palace would you have? If you look, compare the leaders of today.
Yes.
Now if you look at the kings, yeah, what do they have? They have all these luxuries, don't they? But may we be sacrificed upon this leader, our master, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, that even after the conquest of Makkah, he chose to live the life of simplicity. He still slept on the ground with the pillow was made of his shoulders and dates, palm trees, and the house. They were simple homes. There was no carpets, there was no air conditions and all these things.
They could have had the best house in Makkah.
Prophet sallallahu ta'ala sallam could have had whatever he wished. You know, according to one narration, the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala sallam said that if I want the mountain to become gold and walk with me, I can do that. But no, Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi sallam chose this life of simplicity, you know, from his own choice. Yeah, and he's left this legacy that you can be simple and you can still be a leader.
Allahu Akbar. Yeah?
You can still eat simple food and you can still rule the world. Yeah, you can have simplest of clothes, but you can still rule the world. You know, people will follow you.
But again, if you compare it to modern day times and you look at, you know, keep on mentioning and you listen to this, that simplicity that people love.
Yes.
And so you can understand why at the time of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that simplicity was there, that compassion was there, and that was loved and respected.
You know, in our time, like the example that you're giving, maybe if Amir al-Sunnat, you know, had that much finance, he had a financial power, or yeah, he lived in, you know, big mansions, and his lifestyle was really high. Maybe he would not have the same
following. I agree with you. I agree with you.
And you know, this is not a small thing. So as a leader, you need to make sure that you live your life in such a way that even the people who are below you, they don't feel that you are too far from them. If you look at it from that angle, why you choose to live life of simplicity? So even the people who are really poor, they can relate to you, they can talk to you, you can guide them and they can ask you questions. Yeah, so this connection is so important. And now, just to summarize our topic, if you look at, you know, leadership qualities, you can name loads of points here. But one of the key factors of a leader is that that individual must not have the bad leadership qualities. For example, drugs, alcohol, you know, in our culture, you have, you know, nude pornography and so many things, addictions and, you know,
basically anything that can taint the character.
The wealth and, you know, all these things that affect your character, yeah, as leader, you cannot afford to have them. And if you look at the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his life is such pure life that no one can even dare to, you know, even forget to put allegation, you know, they cannot even question anything. Yeah, because that's how the standard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was left behind as a leader. And this is something that we need to keep in mind in our day and age as well, that we, our personality should be clean, should be such that people and do not run away from us. In particular, I'll mention your own family members, your parents, your friend circles, your colleagues, those who you spend a lot of time with. Between this particular circle, your character must be clean.
SubhanAllah. Viewers of the channel, you're watching our role model, and today we're discussing the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as the ideal role model with regards to leadership. And we've given a few examples, and to be honest, you know, even me and Tawfiqa have agreed here during the breaks that we've really scratched the surface of this. It's such a vast topic and so much we can learn to. And, you know, the fact that they mentioned the beautiful conquest of Kaaba, we look at that, the fact that that compassion was there, the control of the anger was there. Then we didn't even get the opportunity to discuss the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, where, you know, even the companions were doubtful in a sense that, you know, what are we doing here? But the wisdom, the vision of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we saw the benefits of it. And historians have brought so much about the Treaty of Hudaybiyah and all sorts of things. So these are all huge aspects of the life of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if you look at each one of these aspects, then you realize that them aspects, if we learn from them, we act upon them, then we can make a change in our life today. And these events that Tawfiq Bhai mentioned earlier on, all of these are beneficial to us if only we can learn from them, act upon them, and make a change in our society. Viewers of the channel, you've been watching our role model. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Love of the beloved, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Love of the beloved, sallallahu alayhi